Interesting. When I talked to you earlier, you also talked about the role of the chair, and there were two things I thought. One was around recruiting faculty, what were you looking for in terms of qualities and so on. And then I think the writing the book, which you talked about kind of bringing faculty together.
Right.
Do you want to maybe talk a bit about that?
Well, writing the book, David Shires, who was a member of the department at Dalhousie, and a very stimulating guy, because he was always challenging us to do more things, and he was particularly interested in the technology of medicine and computers and stuff. But he was always pushing us in those directions. But he came to me with the idea that we should write a book, and that there was a need for a practical family practice textbook right now. And so we discussed that, and we agreed that it would probably be good if it all came from the department. All of the writing in the book was from our department, because it would provide some continuity and cohesiveness to the book, but it would also be a great stimulus within the department for all of us to be contributing to a book. So that's how we developed the book called Family Practice, Something of the Art. I think there were about 35 chapters, and there each one was written or by one or two or three members of our department, including public health nurse, including a psychologist, and so forth. And we got a pretty good review from the on the first edition, and we were asked if it could be translated into Spanish for Dr. Settlin in
Oh, right.
South America was behind that. So we got it was. And I learned later, although I never saw a copy, that it was translated into Japanese. But there were two editions of the book, and the second one was co-edited by David Shires, myself, and Don Rice, because the publishers thought we could get a lot more mileage out of if a name like Don Rice was on the book title. So we said, "Oh, sure." So we talked to Don Rice about that. He was glad to contribute a chapter and became a co-editor. Another interesting story about the book, if you recall it, it was blue with gold trim on it, and
College colors.
it came from an American publishing house, and I said, "How did you decide on the colors?" He said, "Well, we were at the last minute. We hadn't talked about the cover, and I went in for a coffee, and there was a can of Maxwell House coffee on the shelf, and I said, "That's it." And that's how the cover of the book got the colors that it was in. Nothing more magic than that.
That's great.
The other part of your
yeah,
question,
yeah, the other part, recruiting faculty.
I think recruiting faculty is probably the most important job a department head has. And it must be very frustrating to be a department head with no positions to recruit anybody to. Especially if you've got two or three people in the department that you don't think are doing their very best for your department. And of course, in the university environment, it's very hard to get people to move out if they aren't performing in the way you want. So recruiting and getting people who, A, had a real interest in teaching, a strong clinical experience, and a good reputation in the community, were the prime things we were looking for in those days. We weren't looking for researchers. Nowadays, you'd be looking for some people who had some research background and experience. Not everybody, but certainly some. In those days, that was not on the agenda at all. We were looking for clinicians, good reputations, with teaching interest. And we thought that if we could get people with those qualities, we could make a department work. So that was the recruit the, what most of the recruiting emphasis was. The other thing we talked about was the problem of getting some people in the department to write,
Yeah, right. I was going to come to
to
that.
be academic, And as I said to you, I think some of the most academic physicians I know are community-based doctors, and some of the least academic clinicians I know are in departments of family medicine.
There you go.
Because it probably because it's such a practical discipline, that if you've got someone who is a good practitioner, you really want to make the most out of that.
Right.
But if after 5 years you can't encourage that person to write even about what they do in their own practice,
Yeah.
it's really hard to arrange for them to move through the progression of academia,
Right.
because there are some expectations that people will understand their discipline, write about, talk about their discipline, and be able to
Right.
explain it to their learners and so forth. And sometimes you just couldn't get somebody to write anything.
And you were even just asking them to do almost a descriptive or narrative thing
About
about
themselves
themselves. Yeah.
and their own practices.
I found Murray Stalker wrote a published a thing in CMAJ in the 30s about his experience with patients with polio in his practice. It was kind of interesting. I asked Nick him what if he thought it was good research, but he hasn't answered me yet. But it was, but it would have been like that. I mean, because at that time he was just practicing in.
Well, in those days, even departments of medicine, professors of surgery were not writing, or were not trained in research
Right. Yeah.
technology at all.
Yeah.
They were mostly there because they were recognized to be very good at what they did as clinicians.
Yeah.
And
Interesting.
if they were somebody's consultant, the person everybody turned to for this kind of a problem was probably a good guy to be head of a department because
Okay.
he had credibility.
Right, yeah. Well, that would be important.